post-grad, you went from being a film double to having breakfast with the CEO of Pfizer to being a wedding planner to reopening SkipPak. That's amazing. You said that before SkipPak, you had never been inside an independent pharmacy. So I wanted to ask, why does community matter so much in pharmacy specifically?
The most important part of community pharmacy is community. And that's why that word community is in there. Because for me to reopen this pharmacy, it wouldn't have happened without the community. With the 30 or 40 people that were in our parking lot during our grand opening, to the 1,000 plus people that were at our grand, or at our grand 5-year anniversary party 5 years later, that all happened because of the community. Like the things that our community has done for us, there's no way that I can repay them back. The only thing I can do is offer them the best service, give them comfort and reassurance that no matter what, Dr. Mack's going to keep fighting for them. When there's issues where they can't afford their medications, we're going to try to find solutions for them. And we actually have this thing for the community called our Superheroes Fund. So we have a donation bin in our pharmacy where people can contribute money to, and someone that needs money to pay for their medications, they can also use the pot of money that's in that bin. Or if they're seniors that we're delivering medications to that can't afford meds, our goal as a community pharmacy is to find gaps in care, because there's a lot of that happens, whether it's our own grandparents, individuals with disabilities, even with that, with the Autism Society of America. So we're one of their national partners. We realized that there weren't specific providers during COVID giving vaccines to children or families with disabilities. So we partnered with the Autism Society of America, and we focused on that. We created an entire sensory friendly room. So any individual, irrespective of a disability or not, would come in and have a fantastic experience. And for us, all of these things that we've tried to help out in our community with, it wouldn't have happened without the community. So we're a community pharmacy because of the community, for the community. And the only way we'll be able to move forward is with the community's help.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of vaccinations, I know you touched on this, but you administered more than 100,000 COVID-19 vaccines and tests during the pandemic as part of one of the largest COVID-19 vaccine clinic and testing programs in Pennsylvania. Beyond vaccinations, how has SkipPak Pharmacy impacted the health and well-being of the community? And how have you been able to see these positive health outcomes manifest among residents?
So along with the aspect of us giving vaccines to patients, I think our biggest benefit to the community is that we've served people with love. Because regardless of whether someone believes in the vaccine or not, you would think that somebody, if a place is going to be in the news every single day on NBC, ABC, Fox, CNN, speaking about vaccines, if you don't believe in the vaccines, you're not going to come to that pharmacy anymore, because all you're seeing is Superman and everything related to vaccines. But the way that our pharmacy operated throughout COVID is that no matter what your beliefs are, we're going to treat you with love and dignity. So even some of our own staff members, if they don't want the vaccine, that's fine, but you're not going to discourage someone from getting the vaccine. When the senior or a veteran walks in, we're going to treat them with the utmost respect. If they don't have access to a computer, you're going to be their grandchild and figure out how to get that person signed up. If somebody's at home and has no one that can come out to their home, we're going to go out to that person's house and make sure they're taken care of. And a lot of these things happened because of the word spreading about us giving emergency services, you could say, whether it's the vaccines, tests, or any other item in shortage. I still remember it was Christmas time, and there was an amoxicillin shortage, or there was an Advil and Tylenol shortage for children. There's been a lots of crazy, crazy shortages in the last few years, but there was a Tylenol shortage for infants during one of the holiday seasons, and Christmas and New Year's time. And once again, we started trying to figure out what can we do possible to make sure that our community's children have Tylenol that they need. And it was one of the nights where we were about to close, and the next day we wouldn't be open because we're not open on Christmas Day or New Year's Day. But I realized that we might be closed, and other pharmacies might be closed in the area. But what if that mom still has a child that has a fever, and this is an item that's in shortage, and they haven't been able to find it anywhere? They can't get it. What are they going to do? So we left a box outside of our pharmacy saying, this is like a charity box. If someone has an emergency, come by and feel free to take it. You don't have to leave any money. Just come by and feel free to take a Tylenol or Advil. Likewise, we did that during COVID with COVID tests. We've become a place where the community can rely on for any kind of emergency. And right now it's weight loss injections. Going from the toilet paper and sanitizer days to vaccines and tests to now weight loss injections, there's a national shortage of weight loss injections. And there's a lot of people that have had benefit, including some of my own family members and employees. So we decided that, okay, we're going to try to find a solution. And that was using compounded weight loss injectables and not just serving our immediate community in Montgomery County, but being able to serve anyone that needs help. So our scope started off small, just our local community. But, you know, the 100,000 plus vaccines that we gave, there were people driving from New Jersey. Even 4 months ago, we're one of the only providers in Pennsylvania that provides baby Pfizer vaccine. There was a group at Rutgers, a Rutgers moms group, and I came to know about this because some of the moms drove from Rutgers in New Brunswick, New Jersey to skip back. And they were saying that, oh, we heard about you guys through a local moms group in New Jersey, that you guys giving baby or pediatric Pfizer vaccine. And I was like, I can't believe there's people driving 2 hours. We've had people from Manhattan, Baltimore, 3 hours away, coming to get vaccines from our pharmacy. And once again, we were filling a gap. Because there weren't many providers providing vaccines to babies. This was as little as 6 months ago. So although the pandemic seems like it's very far away, there's still many problems that exist in our communities post-pandemic that we're still trying to resolve. And right now for us, it's finding those areas that people need help and then being able to help them. And it started off with vaccines and it continues. But no matter what we do, it's serving our patients with love. And remembering that we are servants, while the essence Superman doesn't represent an egotistical Superman that's just flying above everybody, it's the Superman that's on the ground level with everybody, that's going to someone's house at midnight because they need help, that's going to change the light bulb of a grandmother because she doesn't have any grandkids. And that's what we're trying to be, is the superheroes locally that serve as servants, and wherever there's a need, helping when possible.
Absolutely. It's amazing how through all the years, the 5 years, you skip back and the community has been able to lean on each other. That's amazing. And I know you mentioned Superman. So during your COVID-19 vaccine and testing initiative, you took up an alter ego as a Superman pharmacist. How did that come about in the first place? And what does it mean to you to put on the Superman suit to provide care?
It was actually I could say, the most valuable $20 purchase that I've made in my life. Post Halloween, Party City, everything's on sale. Decided to get a Superman costume for the next year in case I go to someone's party. I would dress up as Superman. And that in turn, it was New Year's Eve, that same year that I bought the costume. This was 1 year after opening the pharmacy, right before the pandemic. A mom calls because her child needed a compounded suspension, and the pharmacy she goes to doesn't do compounds. We don't really do compounds either, but I was able to figure out how to do it. It was an easy suspension for the child. New Year's Eve. So I told the mom, I was like, listen, we're closing in like 30 minutes. You can get here to the pharmacy New Year's Eve. So we're going to be leaving on time. We all have things to do. Or we're going to be closed on January 1st. So you can come January 2nd. And then the mom said, you know what? I won't be able to make it. But at that time, I was like, you know what? This child actually really needs this. What if I just dropped it off to their home and just surprise them? Like, it would be a nice surprise for the mom. She would think that her child's not getting this medicine that he needs until the second. And I happened to have a Superman costume in the back of my pharmacy at the time. I was like, it would be so different, because everything we've tried to do is something different with this pharmacy. I was like, it'd be odd for me to not wear this costume and go to this person's house. So I'll just dress up as Superman and make this delivery. And I knocked on the door dressed up as Superman with the kid's medication in hand. And I see the little child run up to the door. And the mom did not have any idea that I was coming dressed up as Superman, nor did she know that I was even coming. But she actually got her phone out and recorded it happening because it was a magical moment for her. And her little child literally thought Superman came to his house. But that the reaction that I saw in the child and the family, it gave me an idea. I was like, if there's ever a crisis situation, if someone dresses up in something, it literally makes everyone feel happy around them. And that costume, I wore it once to drop off that medication for that child. But then came time of COVID, and I was like, all right, people are walking in here. They're scared to death. Everyone's scared to death. What could I do to lighten up the environment, make people a little bit happier? So I had a whole bunch of other costumes, and Superman was one of them. But at the pharmacy, on any given day, I just started dressing up in costumes. I was like, forget about scrubs, forget about the white coat. I'm just gonna dress up in superhero costumes every single day. And people will walk in, and you know, they might think that this place is odd, but they also knew that this place was not gonna be normal when I opened it back up. So it wasn't a surprise to people, but the word started getting out that there's a pharmacy team that dresses up in superhero costumes, and they're doing all these great things for the community. And when the vaccines arrived, it was Super Bowl Sunday, February 7th, 2021. I'll remember that date, like it's my own wedding date. But that morning, I arrived to our pharmacy, and I had posted on Facebook the night before saying, hey, we've gotten these vaccines. I know there's going to be a blizzard on Super Bowl Sunday, and everyone's saying just cancel the clinic because it's dangerous to be out. But I was like, I think it'd be a disservice. Like, there's people dying by the minute. For me not to get these vaccines in people's arms is like, it's bad. So I was like, we'll go to the firehouse that we're holding this clinic at, and whoever comes, comes. If not, we'll put the vaccines back in the fridge and use them the next day. So I said, anyone available, just show up at the firehouse and come to the pharmacy to help. And I got to the pharmacy. There was already two or three people there at the pharmacy ready to help me. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're trying to figure out the mess of, what do we need for the clinic? We've never had one before. What are the supplies, alcohol swabs? We had no clue what we were doing. But I was like, just try to go in the pharmacy, grab whatever you think we need, band-aids and stuff off the shelves. And at that time, I was getting ready to leave, and they were still working on something. And the Superman costume was hanging on the back wall from that one time that I visited that child. And I asked them, I was like, guys, what do you think if I just put this costume on and went to the firehouse where we're having this clinic and just walked in dressed up as Superman with the vaccines in hand? They're like, Dr. Mack, that would be stupid if you didn't wear it. Just put it on. And they helped me put the costume on, and I walked over to the firehouse. And that's kind of like where the viral image of me walking as Superman and snow falling all around me, and you see the cape flying behind me, and there's reporters and from the Philadelphia Inquirer and Reuters were there, and they shot a few images, which ended up being like the ones that kind of encouraged a lot more people to join our team. And it got the word to spread. And the amazing thing about our clinics is that they spread messages of love and positivity. So in a time of negativity, this costume fueled positivity. There hasn't been a single negative news story about our pharmacy or the costume. Even people that don't prefer vaccines or didn't believe in the vaccines, they never came and protested the vaccines. If they had friends that believed in the vaccines, they would say, go to Superman's pharmacy. That moment when I walked in and all the seniors were waiting outside in the snow, it was like the scenes out of a movie from Hollywood. So it brought me like a memory from being on M. Night's set, because some of the shots were set in snow scenes. And I was like, this is so magical to see the smiles on these seniors' faces. And then after that, it would just became my identity, where I had to dress up in Superman. If I didn't, people would be like, who is this guy? Like, where's Superman if the costume didn't get put on? And then as we moved along the COVID journey, that was just seniors. If it brought this much happiness to seniors, imagine what it did when we started doing children's vaccines at schools. And we turned our entire schools into, you could say, a concert or a party. Because I wanted to connect that ex the aspect of experience from my wedding and event planning days into something where people wouldn't expect for there to be live mu musicians or to be princesses and Cinderellas and costume characters and magicians at. That's what we turned our vaccine clinics into. You weren't just going to get your COVID vaccine. It was a party. We had companies like Coca-Cola donating 20,000 bottles of Powerade. There was just things that Girl Scout cookies donated 10,000 boxes of cookies. Like, some of these things are just mind blowing. And it's simply like an ask. One of the Coca-Cola directors came to get his vaccine, and he's like, is there anything we can help with? And I was like, sure, do you guys have any Powerade? I got 6,000 people coming through this school. I'm sure they would love to get some kind of beverage after getting their vaccine, water or anything. And they gave, hey, where do you want us to send a truck? And the truck arrived, and that was that. Girl Scout cookies. It was like, all right. Some of the executives from the Girl Scout cookies came, because being one of the only places that had vaccines at the time, you're getting people from all over coming. You're getting players from the Philadelphia Eagles come to your pharmacy. You're getting celebrities that are part of movies or radio hosts that are world renowned coming to your pharmacy because you're the one spot. Even government officials were asking for vaccines for their own grandparents or their parents because it wasn't available to anybody, no matter who you were. It was something that, made me realize, like, you can have all the money in the world, but that's not getting you the vaccine. Everyone's on the same playing field of who's getting the vaccine. There were certain eligibility requirements. But throughout all this time of chaos, that costume brought light to our community. And it also allowed us to remember that even in times of chaos, you can still bring joy to people. And it served us as a reminder to always be a servant to your community. We were able to push forward a lot of our vaccine initiatives, or even just our community initiatives, by that. By, at one point we were vaccinating homeless individuals. People, we had one phone call from a paralyzed woman that she nobody would be able was willing to come to her house, and she was 45 minutes from the pharmacy. I said, we'll come to you. Doesn't matter where you are, we're not leaving anyone behind, even if it's at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's why for those couple of years, I don't remember where the time went, but I can, we have so many memories captured in photo and videos. One day And I keep saying this, but that one day is going to come soon. I'm going to make a documentary and a book about this because there's just way too many stories. And while I was dressed up in the costume, just to imagine one business owner surrounded by over 1,000 volunteers. My story is unique, but it's the story of our volunteers that I'm going to be writing about. Like moms that gave up their full-time jobs to volunteer full-time for a year. Like you just don't hear about that. People, literally, one of my patients had cancer. And she didn't tell anybody she had cancer because she didn't want us to tell her to stop vaccinating people or, like, you know, stay away from people because you're at high risk. I didn't realize she had cancer until she passed away. And then she actually gave me one of my shots. She would come, she would work as a nurse at an urgent care, local urgent care facility. And then after her work, she'd come to the pharmacy to help vaccinate as a volunteer. After working a gruesome 10-hour day, she'd come. And she would do this like multiple nights a week. And unfortunately, I ended up seeing that she passed away. And then I reached out to her husband. I was like, I hope you know your wife was spend so many hours just vaccinating people in our community. And I don't know how she did all this. And then at that point, I realized he told me she had cancer and she didn't want to tell anybody. But she was doing this like while, you know, in so much pain, but she wanted to make a difference in someone else's life. So like the sacrifices I made is absolutely nothing compared to what my community did for each other. And that's why we were on that 24/7 grind, just willing to do whatever possible to help people. And now we, unfortunately, we just have that stuck in us. So no matter what the emergency is, even post-pandemic, we're here to help. And if doctors' offices, whoever has an issue, even government officials, they're still reaching out to us. Say, hey, Dr. Mack, do you have any idea of how to do XYZ? And that's led to some cool opportunities, including some of the positions and roles that I personally have now in our community and different levels of government and agencies.
Absolutely. It's so amazing how much SCPAC embodies the idea of community. Okay, so you've been at SCPAC for 5 years now. My last question for you is, how do you envision the future of SCPAC and community pharmacy as a whole? Are there any more costumes in the future?
So I think the future of pharmacy is in limbo, but as with anything that's in a crisis situation, there's always a way to get out of it. Whoever thought that we would be able to get through COVID and be able to take off masks and not have to do everything that we did during that time? Likewise, pharmacy is in a very dangerous situation right now. Pharmacies closing one day at a time in different parts of the country is not okay by any means because there's pharmacy deserts that are created. And we're removing access from patients. We're unfortunately, like, a lot of this stuff happening is destroying the ability for people to have healthy lives. Because now when you have a patient that doesn't have a car that has to find a way to go 15 minutes away to the nearest pharmacy, and the only means of transport they have is going by bus, they might not go to get their blood pressure medication. They say, you know what, forget it this month. I'm not going on this bus and spending 45 minutes to go to the pharmacy and come back. People that are computer illiterate, they're not going to try to figure out how to, you know, call a mail order pharmacy and be on phone, hit 17 different options, and hopefully speak to a human being or go online and figure out how to refill their medications. They'll just say, forget it, I'm not going to take this medication. A lot of things are happening where it could go very wrong, but just like in COVID, we were at that point where things were headed in the wrong direction. People were dying by the numbers, but then all of a sudden there was that light where everyone's like, let's come together. We can come up with a solution. We're going to get through this together. And that's where we're at right now. Whoever wants to fight through these challenges that we're facing as pharmacy owners or as the pharmacy profession, I think if we work together, we can reverse the way pharmacy is headed right now. And the focuses may change. The future of pharmacy may not continue traditionally, where you see a pharmacist standing behind a counter and then technicians counting prescription pills and putting them into a bottle. And what we've seen in our lives, at least, that aspect may still be there, but it's going to be minimized in the future because we're in 2024. There's robotics, there's technologies, there's artificial intelligence, there's ChatGPT. The world is changing whether you like it or not. So for the owners that are in that mindset that, oh, we're going to fill 1,000 prescriptions a day and be able to survive, you're probably not. The reimbursements are not going to change from insurance companies. We're at a point where no matter what we do, we can beg all we want, saying, hey, can you please reimburse us fairly? Like, you know, it's not right that we lose money filling prescriptions. And they're like, all right, okay, you can do that. But then they're going to offer, like, okay, how about you offer some clinical services or you do something different? You might be bleeding in one aspect, but find another way. And we're at that point where we have to adapt and change to the current times. And that's why we're focusing a lot on clinical services. The physical aspects of you giving a vaccine to somebody, it requires a hand, it requires you touching the person's arm and then injecting. the aspect of doing a test. You give someone a nasal swab, oral swab, they do the test, you go back and you put it into the lab device. Those things cannot get replaced until maybe like 20 years from now when you have robots giving shots. But the aspect of filling a prescription, that can easily be replaced. They're already working on technology right now in certain stores in America. If there's cars that can operate without human beings, what can't be done? At one of these models that I saw, I didn't see it in person, but I saw a video about it. You can go and you can hit a button. The robot fills a prescription and it brings it to the counter and you pick it up. And if you need a counsel at the point of sale, you can hit a button and the pharmacist will come up on the screen. That's the direction that we're headed in, where it, and I always try to encourage my students to remember that if you're doing something that a robot can replace, yeah, sure, do it, but don't put all your effort into doing that because that's eventually going to be replaced. Utilize the technology that you have by you and then use that to do additional things like counsel people, medication synchronization. Find out why this patient is not adherent to their medications, but use the tools that you have. Use the data that you get through these computer systems and use that data to actually bring back value to the patient. If you have a patient that stopped taking their cholesterol medication, find out why, because if it might be due to their legs cramping, and offer alternative solutions. Partner with physician offices, because a big thing we learned during the pandemic is that the art of collaboration. We're not in a silo as pharmacists. We're part of a group of healthcare professionals that can change someone's life. And if we start collaborating with other individuals like physicians, nurses, physician assistants, and even hospital systems, that's where we can find a lot of benefit or a lot of add value that we can provide to our community. So a lot of things are changing. Definitely there's a need for PBM reform in Pennsylvania itself. One of the bills, House bill, is at the governor's desk. And the governor happens to be from our county in Montgomery. He knows of our pharmacy. Him and his wife would actually refer patients to our pharmacy, Governor Shapiro. He's a huge fan and advocate of independent pharmacy. He knows our value and our worth, especially during the pandemic when everyone was struggling. He also realizes that if these guys were there for you during a time of chaos, shouldn't we be there for them at a time where they're hurting? And that's the time right now for a lot of independent pharmacy owners. We're hurting because the poor reimbursements, patients being steered to use mail order or a chain pharmacy. There's a lot of things that are happening. And I think the more noise that we make, and noise meaning we're not going to go protest and destroy things, but being a voice, advocating, using our patients' voices, capturing their story. I'm all about trying to get as many stories as I can from our patients and then using those stories to advocate to other people. And a lot of the things that we post on our social media, people will think that as a pharmacist, I'm probably spending most of my time actually doing things relating to pills and vaccines. Not really. I'm trying to find a way to get the voices, our stories heard in our community and at different levels. So when we post on social media, we're sharing human interest stories of a patient whose lives we made a difference and a patient that might not have gotten care without that independent pharmacy. Because eventually, if enough people hear about your story, when a vote comes to their desk, whether it's like a state representative or a federal rep, and they have the option to say, okay, are we going to do something to favor the independent pharmacy in this community or favor an insurer? They'll remember that impact that you had for your community. And that's pretty much what's going to happen is we're going to require to have a lot of help from federal, state partners to be able to change the way things are right now. Because if it doesn't change, unfortunately, like a lot more pharmacies will close. And pharmacies closing just does not impact our communities, but the future of our profession. Young pharmacy students, there's going to be lower enrollment in pharmacy schools because if you're a parent, and I have two little babies myself, and I see in the news, all I see in the news is negativity about pharmacy. Do I really want to send my child into a profession that all you see is negative? So we need to change that as well, is that the news story should be stories of positivity, stories of us helping our community. We're trying to change that narrative as well of encouraging more positive stories in the media, realizing that we do have some negative things that are happening, but twisting that so that way hopefully things change for the better.
Definitely. It's so evident that there's obviously so much good in community pharmacy.
If you're ever in the Pennsylvania area, please do stop by our pharmacy. It's like a museum of the last 5 years, and we have 10,000 handwritten notes, patient thank you notes. Because when they had 15 minutes where they were sitting in the vaccine room or whatever school clinics that we did, we had tables set up because I was like, I want to capture it as many of these feelings as we can. And they would write whatever they're thinking, leave a thank you note for for the volunteers or the pharmacy profession, and we have 10,000 of those handwritten notes. I haven't gone back to read them, but it's like the cutest thing. Sometimes you have little kids drawing little cartoons, and thank you so much. My shot didn't hurt, and but it's cool.
Absolutely. Wow, I'm definitely excited to read your book. You should. That's gonna be a good one.
Thanks so much, Lauren.
Awesome.
Nice
Thank
chatting
you.
with
Have a
you.
great
Take care.
night.